Hey everyone, I'm Pastor Derek Baum with Aldersgate Church, and I just want to take a moment to welcome you and to thank you for joining us today. We worship at the corner of 6th and Lincoln, right here in downtown Aberdeen, and our prayer and our hope is that today's worship and message will help you and all of us come to know who Jesus is, to know His grace and the life that He offers to each and every one of us. We're not perfect people, but we certainly strive for the one who is. So friends, welcome to Aberdeen, welcome to worship, and welcome to Aldersgate. We're glad to have you here.
I love having the American flag in my backyard, and I love my family, and I love God. And maybe like me, you're feeling like we are living in a land that is like a slowly sinking ship. We're seeing the taxes that are increasing. We're seeing inflation increasing. We're seeing government regulations. We're seeing freedom stripped away and our children's futures being squelched. And we wonder, what in the world can we do? Is there any hope? Yes, and here's why. The same strategy that has liberated nation after nation and individual after individual is the strategy of God, and it works. We just came up with a 10-lesson video course to train you to do in your backyard what I've been doing in mine so that we can spread fires of revival, of freedom, 0% contained from your backyard across your county, across your state, and reach the entire nation. The answer is found by engaging, awakening, and reviving the hearts and minds of the family of faith.
It needs to be a family thing, training our children up so that we pass the torch of the truths of liberty to our children and our children's children, otherwise we'll lose it.
We can change the world.
Good morning, Aldersgate.
Good morning, guys.
My name is Laura Reif. I'm here with Kate Hoffman. We're so excited to worship with you today, but first we have a few announcements for you.
Okay guys, it's a new year, we have a new name, time for a new members class. We have Aldersgate 101 coming up February 26th, just following our third service. We will have a quick pizza lunch and then we'll dive right in, but we do need you to RSVP, so please email me at kate@aldersgatesd.org so we can get a good head count of who's gonna be there. We're really excited about that. What else do we have going on?
Well, we have Easter coming up, believe it or not.
It's crazy.
I know, and so that means Ash Wednesday is coming, and that will be on February 22nd. We'll have our Ash Wednesday service at 6:15. Also, throughout Lent, we'll be having services on Wednesdays at 12:05 and 6:15. We'll be having a lunch following that 12:05 service, as well as a supper those Wednesdays starting at 5:15.
Okay, and ladies, we have an event coming up. We have the IF Gathering, March 3rd and 4th. It's going to be a Friday and Saturday. We have a lot of awesome speakers. It's just going to be a wonderful event, so please invite your friends. Bring people maybe that haven't been to our church before. It's just going to be a great time for all of us ladies to get together, worship together, hear some great speakers. You can register online. It is aldersgatesd.org/events. There's more information there. But if you have any questions, please let us know. We'd be happy to answer, you know, anything that may come up. And I don't know, should we go worship?
Let's do it.
Well, friends, this is indeed the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. It's great to have all of you here today. We see our kindergartens and our fourth grade, our four-year-olds are going to be coming and sharing with us with the Learning Tree. They're going to kick off our service here this morning. So we're going to turn it over to them here today.
What's the jump, though? Amen. They did a great job. And we definitely live in the iPhone era, because I don't know if you caught it, but it was, "I will be done." That was wonderful. Good job, kids. Thank you so much. And while they're going to find their parents, just a couple of other quick announcements here. In your bulletins, you saw that there's a little deal called Finding Community. Last Sunday, we had our Finding Community event. We had about 85 people come towards that. It was a great evening. And one of the things that we're looking at is really launching our small groups. We've been kind of really chatting about that a little bit. If you're interested in joining a small group, if you're interested in leading or co-leading a group, we'd just like you to fill these out, put these in the offering when they go by. If you miss the offering when it goes by, you can also just drop it in one of the black boxes on the side here, or drop it off at the welcome desk too, as well. So a lot of good information. We're just really looking forward to what God has in store to really just launch our small groups and to get people connected. We really believe that that's going to be one of the best places for us to grow and become these small groups on mission to make an impact for the world. So with that being said, friends, let's get into worship here this morning. Would you please stand as you're able? Let's pray today. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come again here once a week, Lord God, to gather as a community, to lift high the name of Jesus and to praise you and give you honor and glory. Lord, we pray today that our hearts will be open, our ears attentive, our eyes open, Lord God, to your movement in this place and in our lives and in the community around us. And we look forward to, Lord, knowing that your Holy Spirit is moving in such a way, Lord, to call us into relationship with you. We give you ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us in worship this morning. If you're joining us online, we want you to raise your voices as well. Let's sing to our good Father.
Your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad.
is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on.
With all creation I see.
Amen. At this time, we ask that you please be seated as our ushers wait upon us in a time of giving of our tithes and offerings.
Oh,
eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Let's take a moment to just be still and to know that He is God. Go to the Lord with the prayers of your hearts here this morning, to know whatever you're carrying, whatever burden there might be, whatever your future might have that you might think is in store, you have a God who has promised us all. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest." Go to the Lord with the prayers of your hearts. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can run to you, that we can cry out to you, that we can pour out our laments, our cries of our hearts, Lord God, to you, Lord God. And Lord, you know our stories, you know the burdens we carry, you know the trials that sometimes we find ourselves in. You know the times when we face, when we feel that we face obstacles or these mountains of impossibilities. Whether we're in a valley or on the mountaintop, but Lord, through it all, no matter what we are in, may we proclaim, just as we just sang, it is well. No matter what we face, it is well with our souls because we trust in you every step of the way. And I pray, Father God, for those today, Lord, that are just going through times of bereavement, times of great sorrow, for mourning the loss of a loved one. They need your peace that surpasses all understanding. And I pray, Father God, that you will draw near to them. Your word tells us that you do. Your word tells us that you draw near to those who are crushed in spirit, to those that are brokenhearted. And we're thankful for that promise. Lord, I want to lift up those that are ill physically, whether that's being diagnosed with cancer, whether it's being diagnosed from cancer or even to the common cold, whatever it might be, Lord God, I pray, Lord, for healing and strength. I pray, Lord, for your healing touch to come upon them. I pray for those also, Lord God, that are just going through some things mentally and emotionally today too as well. I pray, Lord, for those that are struggling with anxiety, that worry, and sometimes just feel like it just overwhelms them and they can't really even function to do everyday activities, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, that you will help them to be set free from that, that they can find courage in the midst of the times when they feel discouraged, Lord. But Lord, also in the midst of all of this, Father, we want to lift up just what's happening throughout our world. It's so far away from us, but we think of the earthquake in Turkey, and just seeing some of the video from that, Lord God, it just leaves us speechless at times, and the countless lives that have been lost. We don't know them, but Lord, you do, and we pray, Lord God, that you'll surround those communities. We pray for the church in Turkey too, for those that through this, Lord God, will be able to minister and find ways to outreach. And it's a tough in itself to do that anyways in Turkey, but Lord, we know, Lord, that you are not limited. So we pray, Lord, for those communities affected by that earthquake. Lord, throughout this nation, we sometimes are a nation in turmoil. And we lose our focus quite a bit. We've sinned against you, and we often do. But Lord, in your mercy, we ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers, and that your grace that knows no bounds, knows no limits, will be poured out upon us, and that we will freely receive your gift of grace that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word, your written word, that we're able to open it and to read from it and to learn and to grow. And thank you, Lord God, for the living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who stepped into time to save us, and how our hearts long to want to see him, Lord, and to want to have him, Lord. And so we long for that day when Jesus will come again. So until then, though, we will continue to worship. We will will continue to seek you out and to make known the name of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And now we pray the way he showed us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. All right. We're going to invite the children to come forward now for Children's Church. Pastor Joey's going to share with us in a children's message here today.
All right. Well, good morning, kids. It is a big day, isn't it? Super Bowl. Who's excited for the Super Bowl? Raise your hand. Oh, I'm excited for the snacks. That's what I'm excited for. Just a good excuse for me to eat all the junk food I can. So, who knows what I am talking on right now?
A microphone.
That's correct. Does anybody know what this is? That is also a microphone. You know what's really cool about this is I found this out at the landfill. Yes, that's right. And you know what? And I said I had to have it. I had to get it. So I took it with me. Why do we use microphones? Sam?
To speak,
right? So, like, if you notice, Pastor Derek has a microphone on his ear. Pastor Mike will have the same, which is, Mike doesn't really need a microphone, but we give him one anyways. It's unbelievable, all right? But we use these so that people can hear us, and we can talk to large groups of people, okay? But you know what's really exciting is we don't need this, and we don't need this to talk to Jesus. You know what we do? We pray, right? And we don't need a microphone. He's always going to hear us. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us do that now, and then we're going to get you guys slowly and walking to Children's Church, right? So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for always hearing us when we pray and talk to you, Lord. We just love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all people said,
Amen.
Church, children going to Children's Church. But if we should also give the option, if you don't want your child to go to Children's Church, you can just go out in the hallway there and you can grab them and bring them back to the seats with you too as well. So in case you're new here and you're wondering where are the kids going, we've got plans and activities for them. They usually have fun with that too. So why don't you, before we get started here, let's stand and let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Let's share the peace of Jesus Christ with our neighbors here today.
Well, Pastor Joey, if the shoe fits, wear it, and I'm wearing it. I'll never forget. I think I've told this story before, but there was somebody that told me several years ago about, I don't know if they shared it with me or with my wife, but I was in the middle of the preaching, and I probably got passionate, and I tend to do that, and they said, the little boy or little girl leaned over and said to their mom and dad, why is he yelling at us? Oh, man. Oh, that's a good word. Well, good morning. It is so good to have you here at Aldersgate Church. Those of you that are tuned in online, thank you for taking time to join us. And we're going to go back a few verses today into Matthew 26. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up there. And then just an FYI, Pastor Derek's going to dive into some Bible prophecy and do a prophecy update for us in the next couple of weeks. So that'll be very good. It's very timely. And so we're looking forward to that as well. As we have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up. Matthew 26, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. "But not during the festival," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." This is the word of the Lord. Father, we pause. We thank you. We thank you for your written word. We thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ. And now I pray, as we have this time of study, that the Holy Spirit would work on each heart as only you can. You promise that your word does not come back void. Hide me behind the cross, Father, stricken from my mind and my tongue, anything that is not truthful and not pleasing to you, that you would be honored and glorified, and your people would be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the most expensive thing in your house? What is the most expensive thing in your house? I asked my wife that question this week, and it's probably her wedding ring, but I didn't want to use that, and she said to me, "Well, Mike, probably your football cards." And I thought, I don't do a really good job of storing my cards, and so sometimes they kind of get in the way, but she's very gracious with me. Why do I tell you that? Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and so I thought, you know, I'm going to just show you a picture of just a couple of cards that I've collected over the years. That's Peyton Manning when he was a rookie, Walter Payton when he was a rookie. I wish that was a Michael Jordan rookie, but it's not, but it is one of his most iconic cards because the tongue's sticking out, you know, and he's dunking the ball, kind of that trademark. And then Patrick Mahomes' rookie card, and that's actually a card with a piece of jersey on it that he wore in a game, and that's what makes that valuable. The reason I show you these is in really good condition, these cards are worth a lot of money. A lot of money. And many of you, some of you maybe are collectors and have cards, or maybe you collect other things, coins or whatever. But there's value in them. What I want to ask today is, what do you value most? Because we live in a culture, we live in this consumer culture, where we so value material possessions and power and prestige and status. In our text today, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And he tells them very plainly that the Passover is 2 days away and that the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Now again, this is not the first time Jesus had this conversation with his disciples. This was one of many conversations, one of many times that he stated to them what his purpose was in coming. And so he tells them that, and while he's having this conversation, Matthew interjects here that the elders of the assembly had gathered with the high priest Caiaphas, and they're plotting Jesus' arrest for the purpose of murdering him, but not that the timing wasn't right. And so Jesus here is in Bethany, not far from Jerusalem, in the house of Simon the leper. And there's estimated by theologians, and as I went through the different gospels, It speaks of the different people that were there, and one of them that was there was actually Lazarus, who Jesus, not too far before that, had brought him back to life. So they're gathered. But then there's this woman that's spoken about. Doesn't call her by name. Some scholars believe that it was Mary. But Matthew does not identify who she is. But she has something. She has a jar, an alabaster jar of perfume. Not just any perfume. Expensive perfume in this flask. And in the Gospel of Mark, we're told that it's worth 300 denarii. That would be 10 months' wages. Think with me for a second. How much money do you make in 10 months? Let's bring it into today's context. 10 months. Say you had a bottle of perfume or cologne you would have to save up all of your earnings for 10 months just to buy that perfume. And so he takes that. She takes this perfume. Now think with me for a moment. Let's get into this situation. This woman walks up to Jesus. My guess is they make eye contact. She takes the lid off of the flask and she pours this expensive perfume on Jesus' head. And as the fragrance begins to fill the air, there's a sense of awkward silence in the room. And the disciples become indignant because they know the value of that perfume. And they thought to themselves, surely you could have done something better than dump that on Jesus' head. What a waste. And it's stated that they reference the poor. Oh, the good that it could have been done for the poor. What about those that are sick? How many could have received care with those dollars? What about the enslaved and the oppressed? How they could have received so much help? But instead, you take that and you dump it on Jesus' head. And as that oil is running down his head and his face, he looks at his disciples and he rebukes them. And he says, what this woman has done is a beautiful thing for me. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He had just told them yet again where he was going. They were Jewish people, so they knew that part of why she was doing this, they didn't know it, but part of why they were doing this was because it was customary to put perfume on deceased bodies as a sign of honor. But the disciples were indignant. And Jesus rebukes them. And here's what he's essentially saying to them. Where the disciples assigned shame, Jesus ascribed honor. This woman had done a beautiful thing. So what does this mean? Does this mean that Jesus doesn't care about the hungry or the poor or the oppressed? Not at all. Church, here's the point of this entire text. And please don't miss it. That selfless love for others springs from a supreme love for God. And this is a point that I think in America especially, we tend to miss. Because you hear so much in our culture now about social justice. Think with me for a second about sex trafficking. I don't know anybody, Christian or non-Christian, that would say that sex trafficking is okay. That to take men and women and children, especially those that are vulnerable, and enslave them for the purpose of abusing them. We can agree with the world on that. But also think with me for a second how our world views the issue of pornography. A $1 billion industry that many people think it's no big deal. Really? It's no big deal. You see, where there's demand, there has to be supply. And so we can have all kinds of conviction about wanting to battle the sex, about battling sex trafficking, but what about battling the issue of pornography? Need I remind us the correlation? But yet, seems to be no big deal, unfortunately, both in the church and outside of the church. You see, this is one of those taboo things we just don't want to talk about. The statistics are staggering. Staggering. About the number of people that will view pornography online. Upwards of 70% of men, regardless whether they claim to be a Christian or not. 40% of women. Now think with me for a second about this. If they're correlated and we want to scream and holler about sex trafficking, why are we not making an issue about pornography? See, here we have what we have is a propensity to defend one cause and disregard Christ in another. Subtle yet sinful as it may be, we will advocate for justice while ignoring Jesus. But this woman, in her motive, was humility. She wanted to go, and she wanted to give Jesus her best. And she was preparing him for burial, and she was honoring him. And Jesus' response is, you know, she's done a beautiful thing, but you're always going to have the poor. You're not always going to have me. What does Jesus mean by that? Is he just saying that the poor and the oppressed don't mean anything to him? Absolutely not. Putting this in context is important. Jesus here is saying, no, I love everybody. But here's the reality. Our job as the church is not to end poverty. Our job as the church is to minister to people and love people in the midst of their poverty. Our job as the church is to love people in their brokenness in very real and transparent ways. As a pastor, getting messy with people is just part of the job. It's the hardest part of the job. It's far harder than preparing for a sermon. And it's far harder than going and attending administrative board meetings. Why? Because we are broken, sinful people. And when I go and have a conversation with somebody that's just lost a child or death by suicide, I have no words. Pastor Derek has no words. Our job is to minister to them in their brokenness. When we get the call that so-and-so just got diagnosed with cancer, we pray and we beg God for healing and for strength. But our job, we can't heal and we don't have the power, but we can point them to the one that does. And the hope of Christ in the midst of the crisis. There was a pastor in Cleveland that worked in the inner city for 25 years. And he went through 15 associate pastors. And it wasn't because he was a difficult guy. And when he was being interviewed, he said, why is it that you have such high turnover with these young pastors? And he said, because they come in with a zeal for people and a love for God, but they quickly get weary of dealing with the violence and the abuse that goes on in the inner city. And he said, they haven't got yet that their job is not to fix it. Their job is to minister to people and point them to Jesus in the midst of it. And that's not just a pastor's job. It is our job as disciples of Jesus Christ. So this woman that approaches Jesus sees something that the disciples don't. What is it that she sees? Probably many things, but just two that I'm going to highlight this morning. First, she realized the significance of Jesus' death. That because Jesus came for the sole purpose of dying, that we might have eternal life, the bondage of sin broken, victory over death, that was significant and worthy of that expensive jar, of that expensive perfume, and so much more. You know, if you think about world history and all of the religious leaders of the world that have ever lived, you think of Muhammad, who died at 62. You think of Confucius, who died at 72. You think of Buddha, who died at 80. But isn't it amazing that all of their life is focused on when they were alive, but that their mission ended when they died? And it's beautiful that it's just the opposite for Jesus. Jesus going to the cross is the apex and the pinnacle of history. It is the central symbol that we as Christians have, that we have victory in Jesus. One theologian once said that every page of the scripture, if ripped, would bleed. And it's true. So it's fascinating that God spoke and the stars were put in their place. It's fascinating that he told the ocean where to stop. He told the mountains what their peak would be. And Jesus even says, if you don't worship, these rocks will cry out. All of creation falls in obedience to God. Yet, man has the audacity to look God in the eye and say, no, I won't. I won't surrender. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're created in his image. The only ones that it's spoken of that were created in his image, and yet we will turn our backs on God. We're guilty. We're guilty. The scripture makes it crystal clear that heaven's real, that hell's real. Jesus spoke about both. But think of this. God's forgiveness is actually a threat to his character. God's forgiveness is actually a threat to his character. Because if he overlooks sin without doing anything about it, how is there justice? How is that a just God? Imagine with me for a second, if we had a judge in this circuit that was appointed to the bench, and only sentence he ever gave was not guilty. Didn't matter. Didn't matter the preponderance of evidence. Didn't matter if they came in and confessed, not guilty. Not guilty. Could you imagine the outcry for justice? It would be unimaginable. They gotta go. So if God is just and we are guilty, then the question isn't why is it difficult for God to forgive, but how? How does God forgive our sins? And that's the answer. Jesus. Jesus' death. That's why the cross. That's why the significance. And that's why this woman, unnamed, with humility, poured that oil on her Savior's head. Secondly, she realized her purpose in life. Her purpose in life was to live a sacrificial, selfless devotion to Christ. Not some touchy-feely, convenient, you know, I'll believe, I'll go to church. She risked her reputation in front of all of these people, especially the disciples, who rebuked her because she said this, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. Think of me for a second of the story in Matthew 13, where a man stumbles upon a field. He finds a treasure. He buries that treasure and he hides it. And he goes and he sells everything that he owns. But you know what's remarkable about that scripture? Is it says he did it gladly. Verse 44. He did it gladly. Imagine what people thought as he took everything he owned. Everything. And said, take it all. Because I want one thing. I want this field right here. Right here. That's it. Nothing else. You can have it all. Imagine what people thought when he did that. People must have thought he was absolutely crazy. But then he did it with great joy. You know, this is tough. This is a tough text to preach in an American church. And you know why it's a tough text to preach in American church? Because just as Professor Thomas Reeves said, and he said it well, Christianity in modern America is in large part innocuous. He said it's easy, it's upbeat, it's convenient, and it's compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, self-discipline, humility, other not worldly, eternal thinking, a zeal for souls, and a fear, a reverent fear, and love for God. Why? Because the number one idol in this country is comfort. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We go to great expense to protect our comfort in America. I got a text this week that still has me twisted up. And it's from a pastor on the front lines in Haiti. And here's what he said. Urgent, urgent, urgent prayer request. He said, now Port-au-Prince is 100% under gang control. 500,000 children are not able to go to school. Cholera is on the rise, and they can't treat the sick because the gangs have access to the ports. So when the medicine does come, it goes on the black market. And now there's a waiting list to join the gangs because it's the only way the people of Haiti can survive. Absolutely unbelievable. Those people have one place to turn. One, and that's the church. So I say that for two reasons. Number one, please be in prayer for those churches and for those people in Haiti. We can't fathom what they're going through. And number two, the only hope that we have and the only hope that they have is to trade the shame of the cross and turn to Jesus and say, I surrender. What else are they going to do? You see, what we do is we turn to ourselves, right? It's too easy. It's too easy. Anybody here not have access to medical care? Anybody here not have access to food? How much money will be spent this weekend on food? Enough money that if we took it all and sent it to Haiti, it would probably feed them for a year. At $2 a day. It's remarkable. Jesus is worth losing everything for. But we don't have very many foxhole experiences here. The world, especially America, spends billions and billions of dollars to sell you happiness, purpose, and fulfillment. This afternoon, in a few hours, many of you, maybe not all, we'll watch the Super Bowl. Do you know how much a 30-second ad is this year? $7 million for 30 seconds. Unbelievable. That's Budweiser saying, hey, we have the best beer. That's Doritos saying, hey, we have the best chips. That's Toyota saying, hey, we have the best vehicle. Buy this and you'll be happy. Buy this and it will bring you joy and contentment. Don't buy the lie. But we have. Parents, grandparents, what message are we sending to our kids? Not with our mouth, but with our actions. They'll learn very quickly what we value. They'll learn very quickly where our priorities are. Where are you pointing them? And I say that talking to myself, because I know that my wife and I, just being a pastor, there's not time. There are times that I struggle with that. There are times that I don't want to eat those leftovers. How much food do we throw away in this country? Unbelievable. We don't think anything about it. Perfectly good. Just not feeling it tonight. In the garbage it goes. Oh, how that mother in Haiti would love that food to feed her starving kid. I'm just saying. You know, think about it. Jesus makes it clear. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, come after me? Don't stand and wait. That's an action. Come after me. If you don't, you can't be my disciple. And by the way, all that money that's spent, it's not going to bring you peace. It's not going to bring you fulfillment. We've tried it. Have we not? So here's my question for you in closing. Where does your heart belong? Where really is your heart? That's a question for you and the Lord. Like, where is it? Not where you say it is, not what you might be trying to champion for causes, or I go to church, or I teach Sunday school, or I help with this, or help with... No. The founder of the Methodist denomination, John Wesley, graduated from Oxford with honors. He was ordained in the Church of England. That is a big deal. He went to prisons. He went to the slums. He fasted and he prayed, and he was diligent about being in the Word and trying to live a holy life. And then he came to America, and he thought, I'm going to save him. And he left an epic failure, ready to walk away. Until Aldersgate. You know what happened at Aldersgate? What happened at Aldersgate is he stopped trying to manufacture a heart for mission. And God gave him a heart for the Savior. And when he had a heart for the Savior, then he was out on mission. We can't miss it, church. We can't miss it. We can't be a church on mission without having a church that has a heart for Jesus first. Not tradition. Not a whole bunch of to-dos. Jesus. Period. And when our life is marked by a love for Jesus, the outgrowth will be a love for the lost and the broken and the poor. Are you being transformed by Jesus because you love him first and foremost? That's the question that this text bodes for us. The disciples loved Jesus. For sure they did. They didn't get it, but this woman did. And so as the great leaders of the Jewish people were meeting at the high priest's palace, scheming to arrest him and kill him, there was a woman pouring a jar of expensive perfume on his head as a symbol of faith and sacrifice and love and obedience. And isn't it amazing that not just here today, but how many countless times has this unnamed woman been mentioned by evangelists and preachers all over the world for her act? Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. So today, who has your heart? Is there something coming between you and the Lord? If there is, may God reveal it to you, and may you genuinely repent of it, and may you step back and just say, I surrender. I surrender. I would invite you to stand. Let's close by reading a scripture together, a very familiar passage, but let these words resonate with us in our hearts. Let's read it together, church. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Help us to be people that love you. You are worth it. If we have you, we have everything. Faith in you isn't faith until it's all we have, Jesus. God, move. Move on the hearts of your people. Show them, Jesus, that you are enough. No matter the circumstances, no matter what their past is, no matter what they might be going through right now, Jesus, you are enough. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are the living God. And in you, there is hope. In you, there is salvation. And in you, the best is yet to come. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. May we live it out in real, practical, and transparent ways, that we would know you and make you known for your glory and the good of others. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. Go from this place and be the light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna say in the middle of a storm. The King is alive. Hey! I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
With everything inside me.
Storm louder and louder. You're gonna
hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Have a great week. Go serve our risen King.
Well, friends, let me thank you once again for joining us. And we really do hope that you enjoyed today's worship and message. And more importantly, that you were able to come to know just who Jesus is and the grace and the peace that Jesus offers to each and every one of us. And if you're feeling led to help support this ministry and our outreach to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can give online by going to aldersgatesd.org/give. And if you have any questions or if you have any prayer requests, feel free to contact us. You can go to our website, aldersgatesd.org, or you can connect with us on social media, whether on Instagram or Facebook. Or you can simply just give us a call at 605-225-5680. Just let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And we hope to see you next week right here at Aldersgate.